Title: Stretching Pants from One Shots from Scratch for 90s Rave Flavor Intermediate. Alright, let's build that classic 90s jungle and early drum and bass pad vibe the real way, not from a fancy polysynth, but from a tiny one shot that we're going to stretch, smear, filter, and resample until it turns into a proper atmosphere bed. This is an intermediate Ableton Live lesson using stock devices. The goal is speed and character, something you can do mid-session while the drums and bass are already rolling. By the end, you'll have two playable pad instruments made from one one-shot. First, a rave wash pad. Long, airy, time-smeared, perfect behind breaks. Second, a dark drone pad. Heavier, moodier, with movement and controlled grit. Let's start with the most important decision, the one-shot. Pick a one-shot that has harmonic content. You want a rave stab, an organ or minor chord hit, a little vocal awe or yeah, a short choir, even an orchestral hit. The key is, it needs some pitch center. If it already screams rave at normal speed, when we stretch it, the character survives. Try not to start with something that's mostly noise, or just a clicky transient with no tone, unless you're specifically going to low-pass it into oblivion. Now drag your one-shot onto an audio track. Before you warp anything, do a tight edit. This matters more than people think. Zoom in, and trim the start so it begins right on the transient, or even a hair before if you want bite. Then trim the end so you keep whatever tonal tail exists, even if it's short. Then consolidate that region with Command or Control J. And here's a coach tip that will instantly improve your results. Find the hold note before you stretch. A lot of stabs have a split personality, a bright transient, then a tiny sustained bit that actually contains the stable pitch. Often it's only 50 to 250 milliseconds long. If you stretch the transient, you get smeared fizz. If you stretch the hold, you get the tape memory chord pad that feels emotional instead of messy. So, if your one shot has that hold portion, make sure it's included cleanly in your consolidated clip. Add a tiny fade in, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, just to avoid clicks. Now we warp. Double-click the clip, turn warp on, and this is where we pick a warp mode that fits the era. For the most authentic time smear pad vibe, start with texture mode. Texture is basically your fast lane to old sampler stretching into atmosphere. Set grain size somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Bigger grain size usually equals smoother pad. Then bring flux up around 10 to 35%. Flux adds motion and instability. If it starts to sound watery or seasick, back flux down. If you want smoother results that preserve a vocal or choir identity, try Complex Pro. In Complex Pro, play with formants between about 0 and 40. Higher formants can get weird in a good way, like that synthetic choir haze. Envelope around 80 to 140 is a good working range. And if you want something grainier and more nostalgic, like cheap time stretch tone, use tones. Grain size around 40 to 100. Your target is wild, but very doable. Take a 0.2 to 1 second one shot and stretch it to 4 to 16 bars without it totally falling apart musically. Turn snap off. Drag the clip end out to 8 bars as a starting point. Then listen for sweet spots. You're listening for a smear that feels like a sustained chord memory, not just mush. Quick teacher move here. Consider doing a pre-emphasis EQ before the warp, and a de-emphasis EQ after. Warping often exaggerates upper mid harshness, that 2 to 6k bite that becomes fizzy when stretched. So before you warp, you can gently cut a couple dB around 2 to 6k if the source is edgy. Or, if the source is thin, a tiny boost around 300 to 900 Hz can help the pad have body. Then after warping, you do a second EQ to reshape and tame whatever the stretching brought out. It's like filtering on the way into a sampler, old school style. Now, let's turn this stretched audio into an instrument you can actually play. The fast classic route is simpler. Drag the audio into simpler on a new MIDI track. Put simpler into classic mode. If your live version allows it, enable warp inside simpler so the stretching behavior stays consistent. Set voices to something like 8 to 12, because pads overlap. For trigger mode, choose gate if you want it to respond to note length, or trigger if you want more one-shot behavior. Now shape the amp envelope like a pad. Start with attack around 20 to 80 milliseconds to avoid clicks. Decay somewhere like 2 to 6 seconds. Sustain can be slightly down, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB, or full sustain if you want it constant. Release anywhere from 1 to 6 seconds depending on how ghostly you want the tail. Then tuning. Don't obsess over a tuner yet. Jungle era sources drift and detune. Instead, tune in context using your bass. Play your sub or Reese root note, then adjust simpler as transpose until the pad locks in and stops beating awkwardly against the bass. That lock is the real tuning. For rave flavor, minor keys usually win. Think F minor, G minor, A minor. Instant mood. Now let's build the sound design chain. Stock Ableton devices, but tuned for this 90s rave haze. First, EQ 8. High pass the pad. Pads should not fight your sub, your reese, or the weight of the kick. Start with a 24 dB proactive high pass around 120 to 250 Hz. In a heavier mix, you may go higher, like 200 or even 350 at the drop. If it's cloudy, dip a couple dB around 250 to 450. If the stretch is grainy or harsh, a small dip around 2 to 5k can calm it down. Next, auto filter for movement. Put it in low pass mode. Set cutoff somewhere between 500 Hz and 4k Hz, and adjust by ear. Resonance around 0.7 to 1.2. Turn on the LFO, and try rate at 1/8 or 1/4 notes, with amount around 10 to 25%. If it feels narrow, try phase at 180 degrees. It often makes the motion feel wider. Then chorus ensemble. This is pure nostalgia glue. Start with ensemble mode. Amount 20 to 40%. Slow rate like 0.2 to 0.6 Hz. Mix around 20 to 40%. Slow is key. You want drift, not wobble. Then reverb. Hybrid reverb. Hall or plate. Decay 3 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 30 milliseconds so the reverb doesn't swallow the articulation. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't turn into fizzy air. Mix 15 to 35%. But honestly, a smarter approach is, put the reverb on a return track so multiple elements share the same warehouse space. That's how you get cohesion. Then saturator. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. Try analog clip or warmth, but keep it subtle. You're not making a distorted lead. You're making the pad feel denser and more printed. Then utility for mix discipline. Width around 120 to 160% if you want it big, but be careful. And turn on bass mono somewhere around 120 to 280 Hz. That keeps your low mids from collapsing in mono and stops phase weirdness. Now, one more real producer detail. Set a pad ceiling. Warped and chorused pads can spike randomly. Put a glue compressor or a limiter on the pad group and just catch peaks, like 1 to 2 dB. You're not squashing it, you're stopping surprise pokes over hats and snare verb. At this point, you could keep it as a playable instrument, but for the authentic sample-based workflow, we resample. This is where it starts feeling like hardware. Create a new audio track and name it PAD Resample. Set audio from to your pad track, or just use resampling. Arm it and record 8 to 16 bars while you tweak things live. Move the auto filter cutoff, maybe adjust reverb send, maybe even change grain size if you're still in a place where that's accessible. Record the performance. Then consolidate the best chunk with Command or Control J. Now you have audio that already contains movement. That's the magic. It's no longer a synth that happens to be playing. It's a printed atmospheric recording that behaves like classic sample-based pads. And now you decide, is this pad an instrument, or is it a recording? If it needs to follow chord changes throughout the song, keep it in simpler or sampler longer and play it. If it's more of a vibe bed that lives under the track with automation, commit sooner, keep it as audio, and arrange faster. Let's quickly talk about arrangement in a rolling drum and bass context. Assume 172 BPM, 32 bar phrases. In the intro, bars 0 to 32, keep the pad filtered fairly low. Auto filter cutoff around 600 to 1K. Drums can be sparse. Let the pad set the scene. In the build, bars 32 to 64, automate the cutoff upward, maybe increase the reverb send slightly, and let the chorus drift do its thing. At the drop, bars 64 onward, pull the pad down in level. 2 to 5 dB is common. High pass more aggressively, maybe 200 to 350 Hz, so your reese and sub own the weight, and reduce reverb at the drop so the breaks stay punchy. You can always open it back up at the ends of phrases. In breakdowns, bring back the long tail version, or do a reverse pad swell. Duplicate the resample, reverse it, shorten it to one bar, fade it in, maybe pitch it up a few semitones and sweep a filter. Because it's the same tonal family as your pad, the transition feels glued to the track. Now let's add a couple optional 90s tricks, still stock only. First, noise layer technique. Super simple, super effective. Create a MIDI track with operator. Set the oscillator to noise. Low pass at around 6 to 10k. Give it the same kind of long attack and release as the pad. Then mix it very low, like minus 25 to minus 35 dB. You'll barely hear it, but you'll feel it. It's that tape air behind the stretch. If you want the noise to be even more realistic, You can gate it so it only appears when the pad plays. Put a gate on the noise track and sidechain it from the pad track. Now the noise rises with the pad like a sampler output, rather than being constant static. For dirt, use Redux sparingly. Tiny bit reduction, like 10 to 14 bits, and downsample just a touch, like 1.2 to 2.0. If you overdo it, it'll shred the top end and fatigue your ears fast. A good approach is to resample the dirty version and then EQ the damage. Now let's talk common mistakes, so you can avoid the classic pad problems. Number 1. Leaving low end in the pad. This will fight the bass and flatten the drop. High pass it. Number 2. Overwarping without checking pitch center. Stretched pads can drift. Tune by ear against the bass. Number 3. Too much reverb in the drop. At 172, breaks lose punch fast. Use returns and automation. Number 4. Stereo too wide below 200 Hz. Mono compatibility issues. Use bass mono in utility. Number 5. Only one static layer. 90s pads feel alive because they move. Filter LFO, chorus drift, and especially resampling automation are what make it feel like a real atmosphere. If you want to go darker and heavier, here are two high-impact upgrades. First, sidechain the pad to kick and snare. Compressor, sidechain input from the drum bus or from kick and snare. Ratio 2:1:4:1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release 80 to 200. You want groove, not obnoxious pumping, unless that's your style. Second, try 2-clock movement. Stack 2 auto filters. One has a very slow LFO, like a cycle over 4 to 16 bars. Another has a tiny synced wobble at 1/8 or 1/16. It feels alive, but not like an EDM filter sweep. And for that, 2 copies off a DAT ghosting effect. Duplicate the pad track. Detune the duplicate by -3 to -9 cents, and add track delay by +5 to +20 milliseconds. Keep it quieter than the main. You'll get that facey time ghost smear that screams old sampler instability. Now a quick practice exercise you can do in about 20 minutes. Pick one classic stab, vox, or orchestral hit. Make 2 pans from it. Pad A, warp in texture mode, grain size around 120 milliseconds, flux around 25%. Pad B, warp in complex pro, formants around 25, envelope around 110. Put both in simpler. Long attack, long release. This audio version is shortened for playback.